Hi ADHD mums, let's talk about something that so many of us go through, finally realizing that maybe, just maybe, your brain has been playing by a completely different rule book this whole time. Maybe you've always been forgetful, distracted, overwhelmed by basic life admin. Or maybe you're go, 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 bouncing between hyper-focus, starting projects at 11 o'clock at night, running on pure adrenaline until you crash and then you can't get out of bed. The truth is, ADHD is not one thing, and knowing how it actually shows up for you is the key to making life easier. That's exactly why I created the ADHD Pre-Diagnosis Workbook, a guide that's made specifically for women and mothers navigating through this process. Before you even set foot in the psychiatrist's office, this workbook helps you figure out 1. What type of ADHD you most align with, hyperactive, inattentive, or a mix of both. 2. How ADHD uniquely impacts your daily life, emotions, and parenting. 3. The strategies that actually work for your brain, so you can start making changes today. Because here's the thing, ADHD in women often looks different from the classic stereotype. If you're ready to get clarity on what's going on with your brain and walk through your diagnosis or self-understanding, feeling empowered instead of lost, grab a copy of the ADHD Pre-Diagnosis Workbook now on ADHDmums.com.au, because knowing your ADHD is the first step to working with it, not against it.
Hello and welcome back to ADHD Mums. In this podcast, we tackle the tough, often unspoken realities of motherhood, neurodiversity, and mental health.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of ADHD Mums. Today we have Hayley. How are you, Hayley?
I'm doing very well.
Now, Hayley's been in waiting mode for 24 hours. She tried to log on to this link 24 hours ago. I hope that you've moved on with your life and you haven't been sitting there for 24 hours.
Oh, mate, I have been thinking about all the things that I want to say for a full 24 hours. So I absolutely can't wait to just jump into it.
That is funny. Okay, so who is Hayley? Hayley is a late diagnosed ADHD woman with a neurodiverse family living in Western Australia. Hayley is a full-time artist and runs her own business painting large-scale murals, public art, where her ADHD is a legitimate superpower. Hayley had no idea she had ADHD until she hit perimenopause when she turned 40. It turned her life upside down and she uncovered her own neurodivergence. Since then, Hayley's become really passionate about talking to women and everyone who will listen about perimenopause to help normalize it and raise awareness of its impact. Now, for context, Hayley is in the Facebook group, and she hardcore commented with so much intensity about perimenopause and said that the only thing that she thought was missing from the podcast was an episode on perimenopause. And I thought, well, that there is like a red flag to a bull. If that's the only thing that's missing, I will fix that. So here she is. Thank you for being so proactive with your topic, Hayley. I appreciate it.
Oh, mate, that is so good, because I was listening to an older episode of yours because obviously I'm a huge fan. And when I found your podcast, I went back to the start to listen to them all, because I'm just like, holy shit, this is what I need. And there was an episode that you were talking about hormones and you're like, oh yeah, you know, like I'm 37 or 38. And I think it was a naturopath mentioned something about menopause or perimenopause. And so you're kind of like, oh, that's interesting. And I'm like, dude, if you're in your late 30s, perimenopause is in the fucking post. So strap in. And that's when I was like, oh my God, somebody needs to talk about this.
Oh, absolutely. And one thing that I've really heard from the feedback, I did a big survey of feedback in the Instagram and in Facebook. And when I ask for feedback, I'm very conscious to actually read every piece of feedback. And one of the things that people really loved was they love the podcast because it is everyday mums. And there's always the temptation as a podcaster to grab the people with the big followings and to put your followings together, and that's how people grow their podcast. For me, I don't necessarily want to repeat the same experts and guess that everybody else does. Let's get some people that are on the ground feeling it and see what worked for them and then track that. So that's why I wanted to come to you, the ADHDer with a special interest, rather than go to an expert, because sometimes people are just actually like, yeah, but that doctor hasn't actually felt it.
Yeah, I think that's what bang on what makes a podcast so relatable is that it is like, yeah, it's a really nice mix, because obviously you want experts so you can get, you know, expert opinions on things. But the thing that really resonates is how relatable it is. So when I've heard some of the other mums talking about, even though they're not experts in it, I'm like, holy shit. Yes, that is me. I can relate. You know, I'm engaged. I want to find out more.
Oh, totally. And I reckon I've learned, oh, this is a big call, more from the everyday mums than I have of the expert. That's a big call. The reason being is because, geez, we get good at stuff quick when we research, hey. So when we're saying that these are everyday mums and they're not experts, actually, when they're in their area, I would argue if they are not the expert, to be honest. They may not have the platform, but how quickly have they become really, really, really good in that one area?
Oh, shit, yeah. Because we all do that kind of like, we go into hyper-focused research mode on a crisis point in our lives. You have to become an expert in it, you know, obviously, which I'll get into a bit more, because the doctors and the GPs are so badly trained in this specific area of medicine. Most of them receive no training on perimenopause. So you need to know your shit and you need to go in batting if you're just going to go see an everyday GP to help with your symptoms.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Firstly, I could see why you love the podcast, because we got some shit that we could vent about. Yes, I completely agree. I spoke to a woman yesterday with ADHD and she was actually wondering if she had bipolar because she's been getting really manic. In the same breath, she told me that she has been smoking a lot of marijuana. And I'm like, okay, but are you aware that ADHD meds and smoking a lot of marijuana can create some mania? No one had ever told her that. So then she was looking at taking lithium and all this extra stuff. And I was like, could you just go back to the psychiatrist and just let them know how much marijuana you're smoking? Because I'm concerned that's creating mania. And she's like, no one's ever asked me that. I did not know that. And I'm thinking, who are the people that smoke a lot of marijuana and drugs and alcohol? A lot of those people are self-medicating. They're not mentally going that well. And so they're really kind of self-medicating their symptoms. Shouldn't a psychiatrist ask somebody that?
Yeah, especially given the problems with ADHDers and becoming addicted to marijuana. Like, that's a big red flag.
Now, Hayley, if we go back to the beginning, because I just want to jump to the end, but I'm going to try to go back to the beginning for a minute. Should we do a little bit about what perimenopause is, really briefly, to try not to make it too sciencey?
Yeah, I'll jump right in. So obviously, everybody listening, I am not a medical doctor. I'm just obsessed with this particular topic, but perimenopause in essence is the time before menopause. So probably like a lot of you guys, I was like, when I turned 40 or my late 30s, I was like, I got 10 more years of uncomplicated, great health. And then when I'm 50, I'm going to have some hot flushes and my periods will stop. Bammo. I was like, sweet. You know, that is actually not what happened.
Okay. Well, you've just ruined Christmas, because that's what I thought was going to happen. And I'm like dreading hearing what's really going to happen.
Oh, no, no, no way, dude. Like, knowledge is power. And you're going to understand why it's really crucially important for us ADHDers or ADHDers, neurodivergence, to have like base level of knowledge about this, because medical gaslighting kind of kicks in. But to kind of talk about what perimenopause is in a really quick kind of way, it's basically from around your late 30s, your ovaries start running out of eggs, and your ovaries is what produces estrogen. Estrogen is in all of the cells in your body, in your brain, in your hair, in your skin. It influences everything about your body and mind. And from about your mid to late 30s, your egg supplies start like dwindling, becoming less sexy. And essentially your hormones start to sort of go out of whack a bit. And it's not every month. It's kind of like, I think progesterone actually starts dropping first. And that's kind of a very slow decline. And then your estrogen, but sometimes it's fairly often, it will shoot up really, really high in your like mid to late 30s. And so you might suddenly find that you have like all these kind of weird symptoms. Sometimes some people have like a crazy high libido that will kind of shoot up and then it drops. And then between kind of the start of perimenopause and menopause, your cycles are just going to essentially go a bit berserk. The hormones are going to be up and down. Like, there's a cool graph that you can look at online It'll show you how it goes from being this very steady and predictable monthly cycle to a very psycho monthly cycle. Not everyone is going to have a really hard time with it, but generally, if you're neurodivergent, if you've ever had any problems with hormonal mental health problems, so that's PMS or PMDD, or if you've had postpartum depression, or if you've had a lot of periods of anxiety and depression in your life, which I would argue is most of us listening, if you've got ADHD or autism or both, you're going to be at risk of particularly the mental health issues that go on around perimenopause. So you need to be kind of aware of that, I guess. So if you've had anxiety or depression in the past, what you might expect is it starts getting worse. You might have some really bad attacks of anxiety, which I'll talk about from my own story. You might find that you're getting depression more. A classic one is your PMS will go fucking psycho, a lot of rage, or it starts earlier, you know, before your period, it lasts for longer. So that's kind of how it affects people with ADHD. Everyone will probably get the physical body symptoms, but the brain symptoms are particularly worse for us because our brains are already like a little bit compromised. So when estrogen starts becoming erratic, our brains are used to a very like predictable supply of estrogen. And once it starts becoming erratic, which is again, your late 30s in general, that's when you can become more at risk for certain things. Like you might find that you start feeling more anxious, that your ADHD symptoms are like way worse. Your PMS is way worse. You're getting bouts of depression that you didn't used to have, or that, you know, things like that.
Well, that doesn't sound like anything that I love. Should he feel like I'm sweating about it?
Oh, dude.
Okay. I was trying to listen, but then I was like wanting to avoid it. So I was trying to switch it out. I'm like, no, you got to listen. Don't avoid. Because I feel like I'm a fucking wreck and I'm 38. And so it's just like, I just think it's only going to get worse and it's terrifying.
You know,
I just feel terror. I feel complete terror and I just want to avoid it.
I am with you. When I did start hearing about it, it freaked me out. And I was like, I don't want to know about this because it sounds horrific.
Totally. Okay. So let's go into how it's affected you.
Okay, cool. So when I turned 40, basically, I had like 5 years back to back of being pregnant or breastfeeding, like no stopping in between those kind of things. And I turned 40, I weaned my youngest kid from breastfeeding. And I remember like thinking to myself, awesome, it's been 5 long years. Now I get my body and my hormones and my immune system back to myself. I'm not like supporting any other person. So kind of what happened around that time, I had vaguely perimenopause was on my kind of radar. So I'd really hooked into this podcast called 40, which is like these two women who interview women in their 40s and 50s, and like famous women. And a few women had talked about perimenopause and about doing crazy shit, like divorcing their husband, basically like flipping the whole table and storming
out. No, I do that every month. Like I just think this is it. I have to move house, move countries, leave these people behind. I don't know who these family people are, but I just need to be alone. And it's not even a little bit, like you're actually just ready to go.
Fuck yeah. Some of my early signs were these weird intrusive thoughts that I hadn't had before. So like I weaned my youngest last year. I just had this anxiety that came over me from nowhere. It came out completely out of the blue. Nothing triggered it. Normally, if I get anxiety, it's provoked by something that's going on that makes me anxious, you know? This was just literally one day I woke up and I could feel this anxiety in my body. And when I tried to go to like get in the car, my heart would start pounding. At kiddie swim lessons, I nearly had a couple of panic attacks.
I feel like that all the time. And I say to my husband, it's like The Walking Dead is coming. Have you seen that show?
Yes.
And it's like they just like everywhere they walk, a zombie just pops out. Because he's always like, let me solve the problem. Do you feel better? I'm like, not really, because I feel like The Walking Dead is coming towards me all the time.
Yes. So that, like a feeling of like dread. I was having these really weird thoughts about like, because I'd heard about these women going through perimenopause that get divorced. And I started having these really intense, intrusive thoughts about getting divorced. And I have an amazing relationship. My husband is super awesome. He does like most of the housework. Like we've been together since we're 24. We're super close. But I was, oh my God, I'm going to get divorced. I don't know why, but I am. And I was feeling very distant from the kids and from my husband. And I remember writing in my diary, I just feel like I'd lost 30% of my balance. Like I was flat. Things I loved, I didn't love them as much. Like if I was honest, for the last few years, I'd just been feeling a bit flat and a bit emotionally distant, which is unusual for me because I normally had a lot of zest for life. It was mainly the anxiety and the intrusive thoughts that were freaking me out and I didn't feel right. So I went to my old doctor and I'm like, oh, I'm getting these things. And she's like, oh, we'll do some blood tests. Did some blood tests because normally what they do, pro tip, is especially because 40 is actually quite young to be diagnosed perimenopausal, even though it actually starts at this time. They want to rule out anything else that could be causing it. So if you might have thyroid problems or diabetes. So they'll run a bunch of bloods to check for those things. They all came back as normal. She also ran bloods for hormones. They also came back as normal. So pro tip, this hormone blood test, that is not actually how you diagnose perimenopause because your hormones fluctuate on a day-to-day basis. So the day that you get that done, your hormones could be normal or they could be abnormal. On the day that I got it done, they were normal. So if you come across a doctor who's like, oh, you've got all the symptoms, but your hormones are normal, run screaming in the other direction because that doctor doesn't know shit. They have to rule out the bad things. And then perimenopause is diagnosed based.
And also, I know this because my husband's a bodybuilder. He reckons that it depends on what the doctor's like threshold is. So he said, if your testosterone's this, your doctor goes, it's in the normal ranges. If you see a different doctor, they go, oh, your testosterone's very low. And he's like, it actually depends on who you see as to how they interpret the results, because some people just go, oh, that's fine. They're normal. Well, but then
absolutely. They don't have a baseline for your results either.
True.
So how do they know what is normal for you, you know, at that time of the month?
Great point.
So I like freaked out. I went and got a psychologist. I just went mad for 2 weeks. It lasted about 2 weeks and then it just passed. And by then I'd gotten into a psychologist and I was talking about, but I was feeling heaps better. So I was like, meh, went about my life for another, I don't know, couple of months. And then the anxiety came back, the panic came back. But on the heels of that, like this kind of rage, I was so irritable, so rageful, couldn't remember anything. So this is all classic peri symptoms. I had brain fog all the time. I couldn't organize myself. I was really impulsive. Like mentally, it was a lot of anxiety, a lot of just like classic ADHD symptoms, but I didn't know I had ADHD at the time. So it was like, what the fuck?
That doesn't seem fair that we're hitting that just as you've given birth and you're like, now I've got my body back for a little bit, that you hit with that. That's not fair.
It was a lot. The last 2 years have been huge for me because then amongst all that mental health stuff, which really freaked me out, physically, there's a whole bunch. There's like 50 perimenopause symptoms. But I was getting like really intense muscle and joint pain. So all my old injuries came back to haunt me. If I sat at my computer slightly weird, I would suddenly have an injury in my leg or whatever. So I knew I should be exercising. I found it really hard to exercise because I was in pain all the time. It's like, holy fuck, I've turned 40 and my body has aged 10 years. Like, what's going on? Oh, yeah, I was exhausted all the time, really tired. But I was like, oh, well, I have a 2-year-old. So that'll be why. I couldn't sleep very well. I kept waking up during the night at random time. I think I had like during this, I had one hot flush, which I'd been having for 2 years previous. They probably started about 38, but I thought it was to do with breastfeeding. But I'd stopped by then. I was like, oh, hello, hot flushes. Something is afoot. Because then I also had acne on my face, which is outside of when I get my period. I was like, that's weird. Acne on my back. Some TMI things, like my body odor changed. It was really bad. My skin was dry. My hair was dry. It was just a shit sandwich. And I was like, it was so bad that I was just galvanized into action. And I was really lucky that a very close friend of mine was unlucky enough to go through peri to start it at 34. So she'd been talking about it and I'd kind of been ignoring her. I'd been like, well, sucks to be you. Sorry.
Yeah, that sounds awful. Glad it's not me.
Like everyone who's not experiencing it and is listening to me right now is thinking, right? And then I went back to him, I'm like, dude, what the fuck? She's like, yeah, that sounds like perimenopause. So I went to another doctor who I hadn't seen before. She's around about 40-ish, no, late 40s or something. I don't know, somewhere around then. And I said, I want you to listen to me with what I have to say and I need you to believe me. She said, I will. And so I read all the symptoms out that I've been noting down, all this weird shit that had been going on. And bless her, she said, I believe you. She's like, a lot of doctors wouldn't. She said, but I've been researching it because I'm going through it myself. And I was just like, oh, thank Christ. She wasn't an expert in it, but she'd been researching it herself. So she knew enough to give me some starting doses of, it used to be called HRT, hormone replacement therapy. It's now called MHT, menopause hormone therapy. I learned that as your estrogen starts to decline, obviously it affects your brain, it affects your bones, it affects all parts of your body, but it also really affects your vagina and your urinary tract. And then what can happen over time if you don't correct this is your vagina and your labia and your clitoris can atrophy. In extreme cases, your clitoris can retract itself back inside your body and you'll find it really hard to have orgasm.
I've heard of this because there was a podcast I listened to, Amy Gerard, who I love her from Beyond the Likes. And she was saying that after she had one of her kids, she had a childbirth like through vagina birth, right? And then she's like eventually got a sex drive back after having three kids under three or whatever it is. It took a while. Eventually they went in, had sex with her husband, and they went to their kind of like normal position that works for everybody because, you know, you're time poor. And she was like, it felt completely different. She was absolutely devastated. She had to like refine her own groove in her vagina to even enjoy sex. And I was like, oh my God, as if we need another barrier. Now she's got no time to even figure it out.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like sexual problems, like problems with orgasming, pain, having sex and stuff like that, super common. So I went back to the doctor. I'm like, give me a solution. Because this affects at least 80% of women. And new research shows it affects pretty much everyone. And they are maybe researching or they're about to start researching doing preventative medicine. So after a certain age, I wouldn't be surprised if they just give you vaginal estrogen, which is the answer to this problem.
And that's the new word for HRT, which is hormone replacement therapy. Or is that
there's
different?
There's a bit more to it. But this particular product, which I call Magical Pussy Cream. So it's a cream, could be like, you know, there's a gel, there's a pessary that you put in your vagina a couple of times a week. And what it does is it puts estrogen back in where it needs to go. And it keeps fresh and sexy and moist and unpainful. You basically, it's like an anti-aging cream that works for your vagina. Like Kelly, the doctor, when she said she has patients, they're like, well, how long do I use it for? She's like, how long are you planning on using moisturizer for? You know, how long are you going to use sunscreen? You use it for the rest of your life. How long do you want to have your vagina usable and comfortable and nice and young? Because it keeps it young, basically keeping it pre-perimenopausal.
Is it preventative? Like, could I go get the cream now and then avoid all the horrific stuff that you talked about earlier? Or is it not?
It depends on your doctor. Honestly, I'd read up about it. Yeah, because there's a lot of panic in the medical community around estrogen and hormones, but it is really important to be aware of that and to know the symptoms and, yeah, to have a think about it. Just be aware. Be alert, but not alarmed.
Okay. So what are the side effects? Like, why would the doctors not want to just put people, like, do you know what I mean? There's obviously some hold up.
Oh, yeah, there is. Okay. It's very controversial. And in the study, they were finding that these women were developing breast cancer at a higher rate, but it's only recently that they've started kind of, there's been a big investigation back into them where they're like looking into it. And some of the stuff that they've found is that it can increase the risk very, very slightly, but it was very taboo in the medical industry. So what they've realized now is that if you give it to women who have not passed through menopause, So we still have estrogen in our body. Our systems are used to dealing with estrogen. It actually has really strong preventative benefit, because one of the things I've got to mention about perimenopause is from your late 30s onwards, as soon as you start in perimenopause, your bones start leaching calcium at an accelerated risk. You start losing muscle tone at an accelerated rate. So you're at a higher risk of developing osteoporosis. Dementia, because you know that estrogen is protective to your brain and your bones and your muscles. So once that starts declining, it puts your heart, your bones, and your brain at risk, and you're at a higher risk of diabetes. And so if you go through it quite young, like me, it's a good idea to jump onto hormone therapy, because that helps protect your bones, your heart, and your brain from dementia, heart disease, also diabetes and certain cancers. They're starting to realize that it's actually very preventative if it's given at the right time. So I think the current advice now is if you're postmenopause, so postmenopause, your body doesn't really produce estrogen anymore, and your body's adapted to no estrogen, probably not a great idea to jump onto hormone therapy, because your body's not used to it anymore. Because I did heaps of research around this, because I was like, I don't want to take something that's going to, give me breast cancer, but also I can't live like this. I was a shell of a person.
Personally, I would explore HRT, and obviously everyone needs to do their own research, talk to their own doctor, and make a decision that's right for them, obviously. But what would be, for someone who's gone through a really rough ride, done a lot of research yourself and come out the other side, what would be some top tips from you to the women listening who also have ADHD and might really struggle with this?
My top tips are, if you suspect that you're getting some of the symptoms of perimenopause, first, go to the Australian Menopause Society and look at the symptoms. There's 50, because it affects every part of your body. Start logging the symptoms as you see them before you see your doctor. So log when they appear in your cycle, what your symptoms are. Go see your doctor. Don't be surprised if your doctor's useless. If they are, you're going to need to find a menopause specialist doctor. If there's none in your area, there are some online telehealth ones. There's one called WellFem. So get in with them and get help. It's not a bad thing to get onto hormone therapy if you're a good candidate for it. Be really vocal. Do heaps of research. If you have to educate your GP, educate them. Also jump on to the Australian Perimenopause and Menopause Facebook group. They have so much, they're very knowledgeable. You can ask heaps of questions. But honestly, if this is you, I'm really sorry you're going through this, and it's not good enough that you have to become an expert in menopause medicine.
Well, that is a good push in the right direction. And being proactive and advocating for yourself is something that this podcast is really about, which I know would resonate with you really strongly. Thank you for opening my eyes, which they weren't so open. So thank you for this episode and being so proactive. And I'm so glad that you found something that's working for you. I think that's really, really great.
The key message here is you are not alone. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, follow us on Instagram or head over and join our amazing ADHD Mums podcast Facebook community. Everything you do matters and helps to spread the word about what neurodiversity in females looks like.